5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Happy Friday. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. As always, thrilled to be with you to share what we think is very common sense. It's not difficult to be conservative. It's not difficult to operate with rationale, with function, with reason. We live in crazy times with a lot of imposters. It hit me this morning as I was putting together the show. Got a lot of people walking around pretending to be stuff they're not. And I'm so tired of it, aren't you? Well, if you are, you've landed in the right spot. And if you're new, welcome aboard Wendy Bell Radio Network app. Follow the live video stream. We do the whole daggone show. Commercial breaks and everything. Also, Wendy Bell Radio. Search us. Get our podcast. Take us with you. Download us. Just keep coming back. And thank you for being a part of our family. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Brock is my gatekeeper. If you should know, if you ever need to get to me, you usually have to go through Brock. He gets all the emails, and he acts as that gatekeeper. He shields me from the nasty grams, and he forwards things that he thinks I need to see. And this morning, before dawn, he sent me an email from a woman who had just stumbled upon this program and enjoyed it so much that she felt the need to write a message. And finding us isn't easy. You got to hunt and peck, right? WendyBellRadio@gmail.com, FYI. And she just wanted to say something. You're the first voice I look forward to waking up and listening to since Rush. That's just ridiculous to hear that, because that man had so many years of experience. He represented, I think, the common sense conservative values that our nation needed at very pivotal times in American history. And he presented those facts to you from the eyes of a 50, 60, or 70 year old man through his experiences. I'm different, sure. I'm not rich, I don't have his connections. I don't own mansions. I don't get paid millions of dollars. I'm not connected. I'm not a celebrity. I'm a mom. And I think that mom thing comes in quite a bit, because I think you see the same world I see slipping through our fingers, and it can be scary. And I get it. I remember, as I'm talking to you today about this whole idea of imposters, people pretending to be things that they are not, and how pervasive it is in so many aspects of our life. It's truly remarkable. And I started thinking about when I found out I was pregnant with my last two sons. Did not know I was having twins. I went in for my ultrasound. And when they put the wand with the goop on my belly, which didn't look like I was even the remotest bit pregnant, the ultrasound technician found one little bubble and moved over, and then there was another. And I gasped, what? Two? I was in outer space. And I remember calling my husband, so excited. Oh my gosh, we're having twins. And there was silence on the other end of the line. And I was like, hello? And he's like, twins. And I said, yeah, twins. And he said, there's no way you're going to carry twins. You're not big enough. And I'm like, hell, the hell I'm not. And he was right, of course, because I had them like 8 weeks early. And it was ridiculous. I was giant, right? And I remember right after I had to come out on television, I was a television news anchor at the time. And I was so giant, I had to tell everybody, look, I look like a spaceship because I have twins, right? And then people would email me messages. Oh my gosh, congratulations. It's so great. And one woman wrote me and she said, look, you're going to find this out about twins. How two little individuals can share so much space and be so completely different when they come out. You'll be amazed. There'll be a patient twin and there will be an impatient twin. One will be very selfless. One will be selfish. They will have dramatically different aptitudes. And you will truly wonder, what the heck? Are these people of my same DNA? And she was absolutely right. From the very beginning, Bobby would cry. Ah! Christopher would be lying next to him. And he'd be awake too because Bobby would be screaming. These are his newborns. And I'd always have to go and feed Bobby, change Bobby, rock Bobby, burp, burp Bobby first. And Christopher just sat there. And he just waited. And he was patient. And it went that way for as long as it happened. In school. Bobby was always the whirlish, you know, the Tasmanian devil. La, 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 la. Lots of innate academic aptitude. Pick things up really quickly. Christopher, more plodding, more careful. Needed more time to absorb topics. In life, in sports, things always came easy for Bob. Can run around. He's got great athletic ability. Christopher kind of more like I am. Needs to learn the fundamentals and work at them longer than the other, but ultimately develop this charming and terribly successful work ethic. Because things might not naturally come to him, he works harder. He buckles down more willingly. He sees what's coming down the road and knows that in order to be successful, he's going to have to carve out time. It's the classic tortoise and the hare. And who wins? Look, my sons are both wonderful. Love them both. Total opposites. But it's like looking at two sides of the same coin. How different you can be. This is this sort of idea today where we look at people and they present something outward to us. They tell us what we want to hear. They seem to know all the right talking points. They look the part. They pretend. They are imposters. And you don't realize it until something happens down the road enough times that you're beaten over the head with the frying pan and you wake up. And you start to look around and say, why are we voting for these people who pretend to be one thing but clearly are not? How are we voting for quote-unquote Republicans who vote in lockstep with Democrats again and again and again? And this is at the highest levels of GOP leadership in the United States government. How is that possible? How do we do that? How is it possible that you have somebody like Tony Fauci who presents himself as being, oh, I know what's going on. I'm Mr. Science. I'm going to tell you what's happening. You trust me. When behind the scenes, he's probably extraordinarily guilty for a quote-unquote once-in-a-lifetime global pandemic and the bullcrap way it was handled and the vaccine that was shoved on everybody that they knew at go sucked. Gloves off. I'm not apologizing for that. It is what it is. It's all of it. It's your economy, right? You've got people in the government telling you, no, 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 you've got money in your pocket. We gave you money. Remember the CARES Act? Everybody got money. Things are good. We inherited a broken system. Like if they say it enough to you, you're going to agree. Oh, you're right. You know what? I just have been really out of touch these last 3 years. Here, all this time, I thought we were broke and in debt. It's insulting. But it's eye-opening. Because when you look in the mirror and you see the crack, you see the shatter, you see the true image looking back? You can't stop noticing it. You start looking at everybody who stands up and pretends to be something they're not, and you hold them to a higher regard, a higher, excuse me, form of scrutiny in order to get your regard. This is what has to happen. You are going to have that happen to you today. Okay? It's coming up halfway through the program. So if you're just a pop in, do not pop in and out. You want to sit here, you want to be here. Because we're going to take you live to Maui, Hawaii. We're going to go to Lahaina. And we're going to talk to a whistleblower. He wasn't a whistleblower before the fire destroyed all of that property and incinerated hundreds of Hawaiians in a crematorium, the likes of which none of us could possibly fathom. Because that horror and the media's dropping of it and the governor's laissez-faire approach to it tipped this gentleman off that something much darker was going on. And he has uncovered a bombshell, imposter story in the beautiful Hawaiian Islands. Something that you're going to hear that is going to unravel what you have thought about the Democrat islands. Because they are not. As many of our cities and our states are not. Today, identifying the imposters and unraveling what it is they are so desperate to hide from us. Open up your mind. And don't go anywhere. We're just getting started here on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. You know, I'm not one to quote AARP. You know, it's amazing how they track you down right before you turn 50. That bad boy's on your doorstep like white on rice. Happy birthday. Join our club. But I found this very interesting. Do you guys remember when Hillary in 2016, every single poll in the world showed her absolutely obliterating Donald Trump? It wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. And it was at a time when we were not openly embracing or really aware of this whole MAGA thing. It really hadn't come into picture. We knew that Barack Obama sucked. We knew that a lot of people voted for him because they wanted to prove that they weren't racist, even though they knew he was woefully ill-equipped. And if you paid attention to anything he said, he was radical. Let's have him anyway. He's black. That was the extent of it for a lot of people. And so when 2016 rolled around and we saw Hillary, who just is dreadful and dark in every capacity, we're like, you know, I'm done with the Bushes. I'm done with the Clintons. I'm done with the Obamas. I'm done with all of these people who suck. Donald Trump came down the escalator, his beautiful wife behind him. What? What's this? And he said things. And we were really willing to roll the dice on that because we knew where we had been for the 25 years prior to that. I'm done. So we rolled the dice and 63 million Americans did what nobody expected. Right? So those polls, which told us he was dead in the water, toast. How do you go up against the Clintons and live? I'm sorry, what? Right? We were told he's going to lose. He's going to lose. He wins. So what are we hearing right now? Joe Biden is still leading Donald Trump and blah, 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 blah. Please. And this new AARP Pennsylvania poll. Pennsylvania, I called it the land before time. This place is backwards. It is wicked corrupt. The politics are dreadful. However, it is one of the most beautiful places I have ever been. And I'm very partial to it. So when I saw this headline, I was like, ooh, what's this? Voters 50 plus could tip the scales in 2024. I don't doubt it, but listen to the granular data. Today, AARP Pennsylvania released a 2024 statewide election survey that shows candidates for president, U.S. Senate, and state races should pay close attention to Pennsylvanians ages 50 and older. 80% of voters ages 50 plus report that candidates' positions on Social Security are important in deciding for whom to vote in November, followed by Medicare, helping people stay in their homes as they age and the cost of prescription drugs. Pennsylvanians ages 50 plus will be key in determining who wins in November. This voting bloc makes up an outsized portion of the electorate. In the 2020 elections, older voters accounted for 55% of all Pennsylvania voters, and in the midterms in 22, they made up 62%. 85% of voters ages 50 plus in Pennsylvania say they are extremely motivated to vote in this election. Okay, so they kind of set you up. All right, I'm over 50. I'm ticked off. I see what's going on. I know what my taxes are. I know how I feel about education and the border and safety and law and order. I'm clearly not alone. Well, let's dig deeper. Former President Donald Trump leads over President Joe Biden in the land before time by 4 percentage points, 49 to 45. Trump's lead is even greater among voters 50 and older, at 52% to 42%. Bob Casey, God, is he terrible. Wake up, Pennsylvania. That guy is a drip who's done nothing except bore the hell out of the entire state. He leads Dave McCormick right now, 48-44 in the U.S. Senate race among voters 18 and older, but among the 50-plus coveted prize, McCormick has a slight edge over Bob Casey, 48 to 47%. Other key takeaways from this poll. Look, this is Pennsylvania. This is swing state city. This is huge. A significant majority, 68% of Pennsylvanians ages 50 and older, think the country is heading in the wrong direction. No duh. 63% of older voters say they're worried about their personal financial situation, with the cost of food and utilities ranking as top drivers of financial stress. These are supposed to be getting towards your golden years. You're not supposed to be worried about getting another job because you can't do it retired anymore, because your president and his administration are a bunch of jackwagons who are imposters. 89% of older voters are concerned about fraud through robocalls, phishing emails, or other scams. You guys, there are so many subsets. And by the way, AARP also is talking about female voters over the age of 50. Because the trend is not looking good for the Democrats. Look, these imposters. I've told you for a long time, I don't like the Democratic Party. I fully, vehemently disagree with everything they stand for because they were co-opted. They were taken. They were abused and manipulated into being this wacky, off the fringe, weird, cliff jumping, progressive bunch of weirdos. That is not America, but it's the imposters who pretend to be Republicans and aren't who are the true cancer. And the challenge for you and for me is to excise the cancer before it has time to metastasize. We don't want it spreading into every organ that runs the body called America. And unfortunately, we've been asleep at the wheel. We're going to talk about that, and you're going to hear about a grassroots effort going on in Hawaii that will blow your mind. Okay? Don't go anywhere. When we come back, let's talk about judges as Democrat operatives, imposters, major, major moves. In one of these Donald Trump trials, Judge Aileen Cannon. Wow. Next. I think the whole January 6th musical, right? The setup, the months that it took to set it up, the FBI guys who we know went to the homes of high-level Oath Keepers and Proud Boys in an attempt to lure them over to the Bureau to be part of this setup. This is all provable. This isn't just supposition. Then you got Ray Epps in the mix, how he's a person who's wanted by the FBI, and then all of a sudden he's removed from the most wanted list. Why? And then everybody is threatened. All the news outlets are threatened. Don't you dare talk about Ray Epps. We will sue you. Why are you protecting that guy, right? All of this stuff opened our eyes to how corrupt our government is. Because there are imposters all throughout the FBI, the CIA. We can argue that those organizations have been corrupt since they were initiated. And I think we'd probably be right. Which is such a shame. It's just such a shame. But I think a lot of us were stunned by the cruelty, by the venom of how justice was served in the cases of the January 6th defendants, who, whether or not you believe they were involved in an insurrection, whether or not you believe they wanted and intended to overthrow the government that day, which is stupid, and if you believe that, you're dumb. Sorry, not sorry. It's almost impossible to rationalize the unfair way these people have been treated. We've spoken to several January 6th families and defendants. So you start to imagine, and it makes your head hurt. And I agree with you. If you think to yourself sometimes and you just have to step away because you're like, wait a minute, you're pulling at a thread. And there's a lot of stuff that's going to unravel with this. You're right. And sometimes you got to take it in bits. How corrupt is the justice system? In how many courtrooms, not just corrupt prosecutors, in how many courtrooms are there corrupt judges? That's the scary point. That's terrifying. Because each of us, if the January 6ers are any indication, each of us is one bogus allegation away from having our lives destroyed. They can plant evidence. They can make up claims. They can excessively charge. It's the strategy. And if you're clearly identifiable as being a conservative thinker, they will go after you with a vengeance. It's terrifying. Freeing the January 6th defendants must be job number one. That said, pretty big developments yesterday. In this case, the classified documents fiasco, which is unraveling similarly against Donald Trump. This Judge Aileen Cannon, she has ruled now to unseal documents related to the FBI and the DOJ's raid. Well, DOJ is just a moniker for Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. Their ordered and sanctioned raid on Mar-a-Lago. Judge Cannon in this case wants to know some stuff. Do you guys remember before the case got to Judge Cannon, there was an Obama-era judge who ruled on the case that pierced Donald Trump's attorney-client privilege. And she made Donald Trump's attorney testify against him in what clearly is a miscarriage, at the very least, of the basic tenets of justice in this country. Aileen Cannon is all over this. Very interesting. The story right now is coming to you from the Gateway Pundit. Here you go. This is imposters, okay? Imposters. Judge Aileen Cannon is preparing to unseal motions filed by Donald Trump related to the Mar-a-Lago raid and Obama judge Beryl Howell's unlawful order that pierced Trump's attorney-client privilege. Cannon held a telephonic status conference Wednesday. They were on a phone call to expose Howell's order obliterating Trump's attorney-client privilege. Like, even if you're a cursory NYPD Blue watcher or NCIS or whatever your crime show is, you know damn well that there are certain protections that in the Obama and Biden administration could be trampled at whim. Howell previously ordered Trump's lawyer, Evan Corcoran, to testify before a grand jury in special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into classified documents stored at Mar-a-Lago. And again, just like January 6th, just like the FBI knocking on the doors of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. We know damn well that the whole classified documents BS was a means to an end. It was planted because they wanted to drag Trump through this process and render him unelectable. And so if that means you got to send a bunch of jazz and stuff crap in it and make fake cover sheets that say confidential, top secret, and take staged photos and manipulate the chain of custody and tamper with evidence and lie to a federal judge about it, then so freaking be it. Not so fast, says Judge Cannon. Beryl Howell is an imposter. She is Juan Merchan. She is that Judge Engeron, or whatever the hell his name is. They are political activists. They're imposters. I don't know how else I can say it. So Judge Howell flipped Trump's own lawyer, Eric Corcoran, into a witness when she obliterated Trump's client attorney privilege in a ruling. And Cannon is about to let all of the documents about this fly. She Tuesday afternoon indefinitely postponed the classified documents trial. You know that. Then she set a second set of pretrial deadlines to manage pending discovery and disclosure matters. This isn't one of those things that you're going to have to pass it to see what's in it, right? We're not going to hold the ball and we're not going to walk it to the very end of the line and then say, well, we scored, right? No, folks. You've got to be able to see all of the things that are going on. All of the dirty rules that they've changed. All of the manipulation of evidence. All of the lies. All part of High School Musical. To concoct this theatrical performance whose goal is to destroy Donald Trump, to screw you, and to keep people who suck in power. Because power is the ultimate objective. Those in power control the money. Those in power rule unilaterally without consent of the people. Those in power think they are untouchable. And they usually are until enough people wake up. So not only is this case, as she's opening up all of the correspondence, she wants to see all of the stuff that Donald Trump, she's ungagging him, if you will. She wants to see all of the evidence that Donald Trump and his attorneys had, that this Beryl Howell acted in a wrongful way and jeopardized and trampled his rights. This could end the entire case. This move has the very real potential to blow up in Jack Smith's face what he was put unlawfully, unconstitutionally by Merrick Garland in a position to push over the finish line. If this goes down, if this blows up, if the Stormy Daniels hush money garbage case for the sex that never happened and the payment Trump never made, if that unravels as well, which it looks like it is, and the Fannie Willis whole thing is put on hold, she sucks, she's corrupt, she lied under oath, she gave money to her lover, she traveled the world on the elector's dime, lied about it. If the Supreme Court rules that Donald Trump has presidential immunity, that whole case goes, election interference. What is left? Oh, is it Letitia James and that fine case that she's working on about Donald Trump's valuation of his property, his business's brand? Because that is as feeble, as stupid, as insulting as all these other narratives that are so clearly garbage. Imposters. These people are not DAs. They are not prosecutors. They are not stewards of what is right versus wrong. You know who is and has been? Clarence Thomas. Do you remember the ridiculous Anita Hill pubic hair on the Coke can garbage? We thought that was stupid. They haven't evolved much. But during all of this Brett Kavanaughing, 20-odd years before Kavanaugh, 30, because that was the 90s, as Clarence Thomas is going through his Senate hearings to be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. He was being dragged mercilessly through the mud, and he was unflinching. He was unwavering. He looked in the mirror and knew who the hell he was. He wasn't for sale. He couldn't be purchased. He wasn't going to be bullied. Nobody was going to lie him out of it. He wasn't going to hide in defeat. He wasn't going to admit defeat, because he knew better. North is still North. This is what the opposite of an imposter sounds like. And this is why Clarence Thomas and other staunch conservatives are so frightening to the swamp.
If they're gonna kill me, they're gonna kill me.
So you'd still like to serve on the Supreme Court?
I'd rather die than withdraw from the process. Not for the purpose of serving on the Supreme Court, but for the purpose of not being driven out of this process. I would not be scared. I don't like bullies. I've never run from bullies. I never cry uncle, and I'm not going to cry uncle today, whether I want to be on the Supreme Court or not.
We have that. You have that. That pulses through your veins too. The refusal to be beaten by imposters. I needed you to hear that today, because there's a lot more goodness. There is a lot more out there. Our army of warriors is so much more vast and rich and diverse and passionate and determined, and they are scared to death of us. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, a little dollars and cents of Biden's electric vehicle stuff. Oh boy. Please don't go anywhere. You got to hear this next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I like listening to people. Got to spend some time hearing what they say. You have to be attentive. We like to give people the benefit of the doubt, don't we? I think so. Always interested in what people are talking about, if they've invented a better mousetrap. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been an alluring personal figure to me, because he speaks in that way. And I have to be honest with you, I don't know why he speaks the way he speaks. Do you know, Brock?
I think it has to do with his vocal cords are like numb.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I noticed his sister speaks like that too.
Is that so?
Yes.
It's interesting. Well, he seems like one of those kind of common sense, traditional Democrats you could get behind. And then when the Democratic Party kiboshed him and said, sorry, you're not swampy enough for us, he decided to go out onto this libertarian kind of independent way, right? And you think that he holds this weird position right in the middle on some stuff. He might be that palatable person that people who are not extreme on either side can kind of get behind. He'd be the ultimate third party that the Democratic Party would hate. He talks about vaccines, vaccine safety, science in that regard. Hey, just show us what's in it. You know, this shouldn't be complicated. Show us your trial data. Don't tell us things that are obvious lies so that you can make money. And then when people get hurt or they die, don't twist yourself up in pretzels and blame other people when we know it's because of you. That speaks to a lot of people out there, right? Who doesn't believe that too? But he's come out lately as being a lot more extreme on things than I think he kind of wants us to know. And yesterday, I think RFK Jr. exposed himself as an imposter. He might want to play that role kind of in the middle of MAGA and wacko. But in one fell swoop, he took out two birds with one stone. One, I believe a comment he made yesterday basically took Joe Biden out of the race. Just took Joe Biden out of the race. And number two, the same thing that he said has alienated him from, I believe, real conservatives who might not like Donald Trump and might be searching for something else, something more refined, something more civil. Well, that just blew up. LifeSiteNews.com, Robert Kennedy Jr. confirms he supports abortions up to birth. Quote, even if it's full term. All right, we're going to play the audio for you, and then we'll kind of discuss it on the flip side. In all transparency, I don't care who he's speaking with or why, but it is a woman. They both have their shoes off. He's stretched out as though he's like leaning back in a chair. His legs are straight. He's got his shoes off. Her shoes are kicked off. She's got them underneath her, sitting on a couch. We're having a very, you know, family room-ish conversation with RFK Jr. And then this happens. Go.
But so to leave, so in other words, keeping it as is with Roe versus Wade having been overturned and leaving it up to the states to determine if and when a woman can have an abortion?
No, I wouldn't leave it to the states.
Right.
No, I would.
You would say completely, it's up to the woman.
My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have government involved.
Even if it's full term?
Even if it's full term.
Okay. And I think.
So that's Sage Steele. She's a former ESPN host. She's a podcaster now. What is the limit? RFK Jr. said he believes, forget the states, forget what you people think, forget what the constitutional republic represents. Forget that. I believe it should be a woman's choice. Every man gets kicked out of the equation. Your input, not necessary. In fact, your input, not wanted. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just went full wacko. Ted Lieu, Ralph Northam. Remember? The governor of Virginia? Oops. Who didn't even seem shy about saying, you know what? I believe that if you have a baby and you deliver that baby and you hold that baby in your arms and you look at that baby and you say, I don't really think so. That you should be able to post-birth kill that baby. That is... Now, for the Democrats who are looking at Joe Biden, they're like, oh my gosh, the guy is senile. He's demented. He can't walk. He's terrible in an interview. He clearly is off of his rocker. He's destroyed this country. But I can't handle Donald Trump. He's so this or that. I've got to have some. RFK Jr. just looks very appealing to the radical left who think it's perfectly reasonable that a child, a baby, and a woman should be able to decide post-birth. I don't really feel like it. Wow. Imposters, ladies and gentlemen. All right, when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, hour number two, big news in the television industry. They're scratching their heads, the news departments. Where'd everybody go? Sinclair TV with the bombshell, which bodes horribly for the mainstream media. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program.